Amen. Find someone, give them a big smile. Amen. A high five. Be kids for daddy today. Thank you, Father. Good to see everybody at New Life Fellowship. Once you've greeted someone, you may be seated. How many knows what today is the beginning of? 21 days of prayer and fasting. And to you that are not thinking in your religious lens, I like, oh man, that sounds like work. Oh God. Well, from heaven's lens, if you listen to what he's saying and you enter into it right, it's daddy's playground. Amen. And he'll talk to you and you'll get treasure from heaven. You'll get excited. Matter of fact, amen, whatever it is you push back on, when you give it up because it's got a little bit too much of his time that belongs to him in your life, he replaces it with wow factors. Anybody like to be wowed? When we talk about prayer and fasting from heaven's plan for all of his kids to join with him in his environment, it's supposed to be fun, exciting, revelatory, life-changing, transformating, amen, to all of us. And God's ready for us to join with him on the fun, the life, the power, the dominion, the authority. Everybody sounds like that. That sounds like a good idea. Because in our world right now, people are in trouble and they're hurting. Amen. And I want to say thank you to all of you that have made your mind up that you're going to be children of God and you're trusting God with what he's speaking into your life and you're being bold to say it. Several of you are coming to me often and you're just saying, this is what the Lord's showing me. And you're bold enough to speak it out. And when you do that, that's daddy talking. And many of you have encouraged me on what God's saying to me. You've come and let me hear you say what you're seeing God doing, and it has encouraged my spirit. I thank you for that. I need that. Don't we all need that in our lives? Amen. And so today, you know, on our beginning of 21 days of prayer and fasting, I want to encourage you that if you haven't made a decision on what you're going to push back on in your life that don't really need to be there right now and need more of Jesus, you're still in. You can make that decision today. And if you wait till tomorrow, every waking day is an opportunity to step into your true identity in Christ. So don't let the enemy beat you up. Amen. Just as the Spirit draws you in, trust him and jump in with daddy. Amen. Is that okay? And 6 o'clock tomorrow, 6:30 tomorrow evening, come early because we like to hang out with one another. We'll begin our first, amen, togetherness here on Monday through Friday from 6:30 to 7:30, and we do stay on time with it. You can hang out afterwards. Nobody's being pushed out. You can keep hosting God's presence afterwards. You can carry it with you. We hope you do. Amen. So Monday through Friday from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30, we'll be here as a family, and there's something about being together that moves heaven. Amen. And then Saturday morning at 9 a.m., we'll meet back for corporate prayer and be together again. Amen. Our community needs to see us hosting God's presence. They need to see us so that they can believe that they too can host his presence as well. And so thank you for joining with us on 21 days of prayer and fasting. And then, amen, when we're through with this 21 days, we'll pick up in August and do it again. Because it's going to grow. People are going to figure out this is a way of living and experiencing life. Amplified version of Philippians 3:13 is going to be my scripture text for today. And the theme is taking action with God. Taking action with God. Anybody want to take action with God? Because he's doing some good stuff. He can't do anything but good, right? And so Paul writes it. He says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. Anybody, any man still dealing with the past? And reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on forward, or towards rather, the goal to win the heavenly prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The purpose of God is that we come into the full stature of Christ. That's His purpose for each one of us. And He's just long-suffering. He knows how to hang out just long enough for us to catch it and then bring us into that identity. All of us who are mature are pursuing this spiritual perfection, maturity, should have this attitude. And if in any respect you have a different attitude, that too God will make clear to you. Amen? Any parents here that have children and have different attitudes, does that stop you from loving your children? Why aren't you like Susie? And why aren't you like Bobby? They ain't got the heartburn you got. Where'd you get that from? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? The Lord is not bothered by the challenges that we are dealing with. Matter of fact, He's okay with it because something comes with those challenges in our life that we may not recognize. And after today, you're going to begin to realize that the past in your life is a powerful place because it's in your past that you find out that there's weapons that belong to you. And you can't have the weapons unless you experience the past. Amen? Some of you today are going to begin to realize, oh my goodness, I've got an array of weapons. And the enemy's job is to cover over that and make you take ownership of something that he was orchestrating. It was his ploy. It was his lie. And you took credit for it. And you got it in a closet locked up. As tight as you can get it locked up, you don't want anybody to know about it. And when you think about it, it brings a level of fear on you, amen, and frustration and emotional or negative emotions that keep you out of your true identity, and you don't like the way you act. You don't like the way you live. You don't like the way things are going, amen, and you find yourself somewhat, even around people, isolated. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so testimonies encourage us to believe that what God is speaking into our life. Testimonies is what we do. Amen? We incite, we provoke one another to love and good works when we're together. Amen? We validate, we confirm, amen, how precious we are to the one that is in love with us. And because we're together, we experience more of His love. And when we do that, we're able to love even as we are loved, which is fulfilling the great command. I cannot do anything that God says without Him empowering me to do it. And for some reason, you're important to me. And I need you to move forward in Him or to take action with Him. I can't take action with Him without you in my life. You see, God finished something 2,000 years ago. He finished His work. Now He's expecting me to finish my part. But did you know that finding out that I have a part to finish that He will not do without me? I have found out that for me to do that, you have a part that I need you to finish in order for me to be able to do my part and finish that. We need each other and to be fitly joined together and to validate one another is what God's call is on each of our lives. And so the Lord has something to say about you to me today that's going to inspire you. He has something to say to you about me that will encourage and edify my life. And the enemy's job is to steal, kill, and destroy your ability to hear what God is saying. So he screams real loud while the still small voice is saying something else. And this should help some of us today because the enemy does not want us to live up to our potential. I had a phone call this week. I was hoping A.J. Montesinos was here today. because he called this past week, and the excitement in his voice because he's hearing, and he's listening to what God is saying, and God is revealing to him, and that does something for me to see a brother that God has placed in my life to serve grow in the Spirit, and his zeal for the kingdom of God is elevating. And he got on the phone and he was telling me, did you know? He'd been listening to some of Miles Monroe on the kingdom of God. And he said, did you know? And he was just, he went to preaching. And it was coming out of him. And while I'm listening to him, I'm getting more excited about the fact that, man, God knows how to do this stuff. I can't figure him out, but he knows how to do this stuff. And he does it in all of us. And wherever you are at, he's right there in the mix, making himself available, encouraging you to step up and to have faith in what he's doing in our lives. And even though it looks like darkness and frustration and prison, isolation, you're just moments away from a testimony. You're just moments away from a miracle. All things are possible to them that believe. Believe what? What is the Spirit saying in the moment? In the moment I agree with what he's speaking, in the moment I become his platform to be king of his kingdom within and then from me to spill out, amen, from me, a presentation, an environment, an attitude that is Jesus Christ. That's your identity. That's our identity. Amen? And so, He's saying, do you know what truth is? You remember, he was telling me, he said, Pilate asked Jesus the question, what is truth? And Pilate kind of asked the question sarcastically and left and went to the crowd and said, look, I don't find any fault with this guy. But he knew there was something special with Jesus. And Jesus was letting him know truth was very, very important. And AJ said, man, he said, I get it. I get it. Truth is God's original information. Absolutely. And Adam walked with the voice of God in the cool of the day. And Adam with God, and God wasn't going to do it without Adam. Adam was God's representative to take care of God's business. But Adam decided one day that I'm going to go over here and partake of another information. Amen. Anything outside of the original information is a lie. Amen. And the Lord tells Adam, the day that you eat of this tree, you will surely die. And AJ is just encouraging me with his zeal, amen, because the day that you step out of God's environment and you move into another environment, you get in trouble. This will help somebody. Take a fish out of water and you take him out of his environment or her environment, whichever male or female, no matter, they will surely pull a plant out of soil and don't put it back in that soil, out of its environment, and that plant will surely. And so I'm letting you know how we encourage one another with what God has given to us so that it reveals who we are. And he goes on, he says, and did you know that Eden is not a location on the earth? It's an environment. It's a culture. It's an attitude. Yes. I'm saying these things to you so that you begin to understand that God is spirit. And they that worship him in flesh, in spirit, and in original information. When God said, let there be light, has it ceased? When God spoke and he created, has it stopped? God's voice, his words are eternal. He cannot lie. And he chose humanity to be the platform by which his eternal word would rest and flow from. You can't figure him out. Quit trying. See, the temptation to go to this new information that's attractive, because with it, we can feel like we're God. We make ourselves God. We make ourselves wise, and we become fools. Is anybody tracking? Now, how has information in our world and intelligence on our from our lens, how has it worked for you? But I can tell you, when I hear him speak, and I really don't know what he just said, I'm tempted to try to figure it out. Let's go get an encyclopedia or go get some Bible commentaries. Let me figure out what God just said. It's the temptation is I've got to figure him out. Why don't we just go with what he says? I'm just saying, you know, peace be still. Man, it sure don't look like peace going. If you'll repeat what I'm saying, don't lose the faith. Hold on to it. Faith comes by hearing. Whatever storm you're in, there's a word that's there awaiting your agreement and for you to spig it out, and the wind will stop and the waves will cease and you'll immediately be on the other side. And some of you are saying, that sounds good, preacher, but the temptation, amen, to stay over here and try to reason everything out does not stop. It faces every one of us every waking moment. It's the reason you have a past. You wouldn't have a past if it was all original information that you were ingesting and, amen, giving away. Because you're in the presence of God. You're in the moment all the time, and your future is looking at you. The only way the enemy can attack you at this point is because it's in front of you. It's not behind you. Oh, this is good. This is real good. Because the only way the enemy can hold you captive is to come up from behind. It's the way he hides. And he's very religious about it. And he'll feed you a line and get you to serve an idea of who Jesus is, a form that has no power. He comes as an angel of light, and his apostles are deceitful workers too. Their goal is to hold you captive in your past. And so because it don't measure up to my idea of good, remember last week we took the statement and we just began to talk about it. The enemy of right isn't wrong. Well then, what is the enemy of right then? Good. And you may have misunderstood me, maybe, that, you know, when I said God is good, yeah, but you'll never figure out how good he is. It's our temptation to try to measure what we believe good to be that limits God from being God in our life. And the moment I conclude that I know what good is, I put a cap on God, which is the enemy of right standing, are the righteousness of God that he's already given to you. And that righteousness cannot demonstrate itself in your life when you've already put a cap on him. So if you would, please remember this. God is good. God is love. God is spirit. That's all you need to know. Don't try to figure that out. Just let him usher you into the environment of your true identity and walk with him. Because if you try to figure it out, you'll become an old soul. And when you get old, amen, when you have a past, come on now, you become too old, too mature. You get boring. You're grown up now. And what is it that brought us to that level that we lost our impact, amen, as believers, and we ceased to be children of God? Our past. So your past, my past, has weapons in it that we haven't taken advantage of yet, because our past makes us afraid. We fear it. And we're afraid that if anybody finds out I was a part of that, I'll lose what little bit of influence I got right now, and I'll lose what little bit of respect I have right now. Amen? You see, every one of us, when we was being formed in our mother's womb, as our heart formed and our brain formed, it received information. Your heart receives the information. The information that your heart receives is stored in your brain. Babies that are born, all of us have been impacted by the challenges that our mother went through while we were in her womb. If she was under stress, if she was dealing with anxiety, whatever it was that she dealt with, we come out of the womb carrying information that the enemy's very aware of. We have this information, and he starts talking to us loudly. And we begin to wonder things like, well, is this what life's going to be like? And we begin to think, well, why did they say that? And we begin to think, well, they don't care about me. I'm not wanted. I'm not special. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And we're beginning to look at, okay, well, this is what I'm going to have to deal with in this life, is this kind of pushback. And while the enemy is using the information that we started getting when we were in the womb, and God had a plan, God didn't mean evil. He didn't mean anything derogatory. He had a plan. He knew that unless we went through that, we were never going to live up to who we could truly be in Him. So He was there, not screaming at us all these things that made us feel less than worthy or special or needed or wanted. He starts saying, but I love you, in a soft, still, calming, relaxing, consoling, loving voice. I got plans for you. But this information is real loud. And he's very aware that you're not going to pay attention to his voice, but he's going to keep talking to you about how special you are and how much plans he has for you. And there's going to be something inside of you that says, there's got to be more. There's more to this than what I'm seeing, because his voice is knocking on your door, knocking on your door. He stands at the door and he knocks, and he's waiting on us to unlock it. Amen. And it's open up, let him come and sit down and have dinner with us and talk to us about the wonderful things that are right in front of us. Amen. And so our past begins to develop because of these voices. And there's some of us here today that, if not all of us, that we're saying, you know what, there's some thought processes I keep having, some negative emotions that keep coming at me that I really don't like, and I know they shouldn't be there in my life because that's not really who I am. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And that war, it's just like a continual wave. It's like one wave of battle just after the other. It just keeps coming in. And you're saying to yourself, well, I know I want Jesus, and I sense he knows I want him, and he knows I'm trying to find a way to make room for him. Does it sound like we're all kin? But he wants to take us on a journey so that we can forget those things which are behind, and we can look forward and press for those things which are in front of us. But in order to do that, you got to go get your weapon. You got to go get it. And the thing that you don't like about your life that you've been locking in a closet is the very place where you go get your weapon. Amen. Does anybody like to practice? If you can learn to fall in love with practice, you'll get real good at what you practice, right? Put your mind to it, you get real good at it. He's the coach. Jesus is our coach. But it's important that you catch this today. The practice field is your past. I got to pause. It's got to settle in. If you practice, you're going to get good. And when it's game time, whoo, the opponents are going to have trouble. But if you don't practice, you won't ever realize your potential. It's on the practice field that you get to become a weapon. You get to become an arsenal. You become a, you have dominion, authority. All of a sudden, you start believing, I can do this. Just a little insert here. That's the reason we do 21 days of prayer and fasting. We gather together, and we know that when we gather together, that coming together and not being isolated is a kingdom thing. Let me say it this way. The number one ploy of the enemy is to isolate. That's his number one ploy. Isolation. Is anybody aware of isolation of late? Have you noticed? And let me say this. We meet everybody where they are in their faith because we're in this world, we're not of this world. But everybody's at a level of faith that you may not be at, and being considerate of the battle they're faced with because the anxiety and the frustration and the fear is real. Everybody agree? And all these voices out here has got potential anointed sons and daughters of the King in check. And they don't want to be in check. They just don't know what to do with what they're faced with. Because their past has them in prison. And they don't know how to believe. And so you and I, we get to come together on 21 days of prayer because we want to get sharper. We want to become more focused on what our objective is as a body. So together, we sharpen one another. Together, we encourage one another. Together, we confirm things that will not be confirmed unless we're together. Together, we get the mind of Christ. Together, wisdom comes out of us. And the enemy knows that if he can keep us isolated, we won't have the mind of Christ. Christ still loves me when I'm isolated. He's talking to me when I'm isolated. It's just that I need you to hear the same thing so I can be encouraged to say, that's Daddy talking. And so he works overtime with his number one ploy to isolate. If you don't yet agree with small groups, you're not paying attention to Daddy talking. It's still his will that we go from house to house, breaking bread, and in fellowship. Not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of such are. Who are they? These are the group that's being locked down by their past, by the enemy to isolate. Let me ask you a question. How has gathering together out of 7 days only on Sunday working for you? You see what I'm saying? And everyone in this room is just that powerful. taking action with God is when we become willing to go to the practice field. And we go into our past. And this is the best way to do it. When you're driving down the road, ladies and gentlemen, all of a sudden this negative emotion comes over you. And man, if immediately you grab that thought and you bring it down. Okay. All right, Daddy, what do you got to say about that? How many times you do that? Think about it. Or do you, or will you dwell on it and get madder? Or get more full of lust, or get more full of arrogance, or get whatever it is, whatever that thought and that emotion that comes to you, it just works you up into a lather that's not your identity. And next thing you know, you want to kill somebody. This is important, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm telling you, this is why marriages are on the rock. They're on the rocks because the enemy's good at making you feel like, well, I feel like you're the problem because I'm looking at you right now and you look like the problem. This is helping somebody. And it ain't possible. It's not possible for them to be the problem. But because we didn't hang out with the original information, we went over here and we made ourselves wise. And we put a cap on how we perceive good to be. We limited God from coming in and being our rescue. He can't rescue us when truth is not in the equation. Truth, come on, you shall know the truth. You shall be intimate with the truth. You will listen to what he has to say about whatever it is, and you will be made free. The reason Paul wrote the letter, casting down every imagination and bringing it into the obedience of, I got to go get a Bible study. No. You have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to you. You don't need Pastor Lowe to be the voice of God. You need Pastor Lowe as a pastor to equip you to hear and at times to confirm what you're hearing. Oh, let me say it better than that. You need the person you're sitting next to confirm what you're hearing. We need to be together. We need to get so sticky we can't get apart. Amen? And so the enemy's goal is to isolate us from hearing. And so we go to the practice field by taking every thought that comes. We know it shouldn't be there, but it's there. And the enemy convinced you it's your fault it's there because you've been a naughty person. And you just hadn't had your act together, and you deserve a good whipping, and you should go to jail anyway, right? And he's so good at what he does, he convinces you, I should. Yeah, that's right. Next thing you know, you're so guilty and ashamed, you miss the weapon that's sitting right there in front of you that God's trying to hand to you. He trusted you with the voices that are screaming at you, that try to tell you that you're less than who he says you are, because if you will trust him through that, you're going to come out on the other side and you're going to take him out. And you're going to take out everything that's been offending the ones you love and the relationship that God has placed in your life. You're just going to become an arsenal. You're going to take action with God. And I got to tell you, man, I got to tell you that there's times when I'm by myself. If you was a fly on the wall, you'd be splitting your sides laughing at some of the conversations that I have about the stupid that's going on. And then I have to turn around, look in the mirror and say, okay, you keep messing with me. I got to deal with you. You got to die. And so I work on denying myself. Because the problem isn't people. The problem is I didn't take opportunity to deal with my past and get the weapon. And I ran from the situation because I didn't want to deal with it. And instead of running the enemy in seven different ways, he corralled me into a jailhouse of self-condemnation and shame and guilt. Yeah, this is good because some of you are catching it right now. And the only way that you can deal with your past, come on, this is so good. Y'all, the reason most people won't take action with God is because the experience of their past is greater than their experience of God. And we can stop right there and drop the mic and have an altar call. And today, some of you are about to stand up and shake yourself like Samson. God loved that man, even though he was kind of out of it. The Lord remembered him, and he prayed one more time, and he didn't even have eyes to see with. And he took out more enemy. I don't know how you see your best days, but they're right in front of you. And the anointing is in this room to give you an experience that's greater than your past so that you can look at your past and you can go right up into it, navigate it. And you'll get honey out of the lion. And you'll get weapons. Come on, David was in troubling time, and next thing you know, he went through what he went through so I could hand him Goliath's sword. There's weapons that God has set you up with that make you mighty, gives you authority and dominion over all the wickedness and the darkness in our world right now. Now, Jesus finished something 2,000 years ago. Did he not? Yes, he did. He finished something so that you could finish something. And he ain't doing it without you. And he set this thing up to where every morning we get up, the mercies of God are made new and fresh. Because it's fine. Might be 80 years old right now. That's okay with him. Because what's about to happen, he's going to redeem all the time. He's going to give you back everything that the lion spirits took away from you. He's going to give it right back to you. And he's going to get glory and honor because, amen, you decided to say, yes, Lord, let's do this. And you let him come with his spirit and fire, his promise, and give you an experience that goes way beyond any of your past to where a boldness rises up in you and a zeal gets a hold of you and a fire starts coming up out of your spirit. And all you can say is what you hear him say. And all you can do is what you see him do. Does anybody want that kind of experience with God? Isn't it awesome that he gives us an experience greater than the pain, greater than all this before the original information, all this information that made me think I was smart? He gives me an experience that supersedes the idea that I'm intelligent. Oh, this is good for our world right now. We need Jesus on the level we'll get set free from all of the ideas that we think we're smart until we come back to being a child again and jumping in his arms and trusting him. And so I told the staff this morning, I'm going to close with this story. I don't know when I'll ever stop talking about what God's given me, about who you are and your greatest day. He keeps telling me to encourage you on the identity he's already given you. And if you'll go and let him navigate you into your past and show you the weapons, those weapons are going to let you know who you are. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to tearing down strongholds. Where's these strongholds at in your past? Every lie that the spirit of the enemy talked and said and made you feel like, I'm an addict. Amen. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a loser. The list goes on of strongholds of the enemy that's imprisoned powerful people. So I can't remember her name, but the Lord prompted her. Amen. She had a relationship with God, and you might think of it, honey, when I'm talking. If you do, you blurt it out. That'll hit me. But she brought a lady by the name of Mary Helen Sinclair to one of my small groups and wanted to introduce Mary Helen Sinclair to me. She told me after she did this, she says, now, I was able to finish what I was supposed to do. Now, you finish what you're supposed to do. Yeah. Crunch. The little kid in me wants to jump and play. And so Mary Helen Sinclair is a wonderful mother. She is a wonderful wife. From my wife and I, our lens, it's like, she was just a blessing from heaven to get to know. She was devoted to being at church every Sunday, devoted to being a part of the church mission and vision, and she was all in. But she knew something was missing, and she needed something from heaven that she just didn't know what it was she was missing. And so while I was teaching, she was intrigued by the dynamic that the Lord given me to give stuff away with, and she come and she just point blank asked me after the first session, she said, look, I've been taught all my life that this Holy Spirit baptism is not really necessary, but I feel like I'm missing out, and I feel God, and I know God loves me and I love him, but I've got a past of religious ideas that says it's not necessary. And is it all right if I come back next week? She came back the next week, and she just came back until she come to where I went to church and just hung out. She said, woo, man, I feel it in here for sure. And it was not long that Mary Helen Sinclair, where she was sitting, was filled with the thing that she wanted, she knew was the key. And I mean, she was like one of the 120 in Acts 2. And she became a loud mouth for Jesus. She won her husband. She won her two boys. And when I say won, she encouraged them to know, Jesus has been good up to this point, but you ain't really experienced him yet. Jesus is not going to finish it without you. And he believes in you. That's what he's telling me to tell you. And the thing that's holding you captive right now is something he wants to navigate you through. And you're going to find a weapon in your past, like Mary Helen Sinclair. All of a sudden, she became the mouthpiece of God. She became a demonstration of who Jesus was. And she believed with all of her heart that when he said, it's important that I go. If I don't go away, you're not going to be what you need. But if I go away, the Comforter's coming. and greater works than I'm doing right now in this body, you're going to do. You think I've done some good works, and the world cannot contain the books of the things that Jesus did in his fleshly ministry for 3.5 years. And he's saying, oh, you're going to do greater ones. And the reason, the number one reason is greater, is because he paid the debt off with his own blood. You're going to carry the good news and point them to him like he couldn't do. Whew. Because you're going to encourage them to realize who they are. And that he can give them a promised experience that supersedes their past, and they can take a nap, they can take a walk on a stroll into their past and start picking up the weapons. I'm telling you, the enemy's shaking in his pointy-toe boots right now. He is getting upset because some of you are believing this. And the thing that he's been locking you down with, you're going to. Some of you are already asking it, Lord, what do you think about this? What you got to say about this thought and this negative emotion that keeps coming to me? I need to know what you got to say. And the moment you yield to what he says, you've just taken the truth, the original information, and it becomes breath. And once you realize what he has to say about the thing that bothers you the most, you get set free. The truth makes you free. You realize you uncovered the lie. Now you have a weapon. And you won't go to your relationship that you know you should be healed. You won't go and say, well, I'm not okay and it's your fault. No. You go to them and start saying exactly what daddy's telling you because you've done clicked into that voice that all he can say is this is who they are. And you'll start believing what he says about them instead of that negative voice that says, oh, they're the problem. And if you get them out of your life, you'll isolate them from you. You'll have a better day. Anytime you isolate anybody from you, you just did the devil's work. And that's the father of isolation and separation. Jesus is not the father of that. He's the father of being fitly joined together. And the one you think is your big enemy is the one that God ready to use to blow your mind, because you and them get in jail sometime, you'll start singing and jailhouse rock will happen. And everybody in jail will come out with you, free. Is anybody believing this stuff? He won't finish it without you. Now, I finished my job today. You got to finish your part. And I can't reach this community without you. And daddy told me he wasn't going to do it without us. So who's on the Lord's side? Singers, you can come out. We're going to acknowledge the Lord right now and open up our spirit. And we're going to bring some of that baggage that you've been carrying, those lies that you've been believing, that you didn't mean to believe, but it feels like it's the truth. And whoever, it don't matter, don't even pay attention to people around you, because everybody's wanting to do the same thing you need to do. Everybody's wanting to do it. Let's bring our baggage. Let's bring our burdens. Because if we'll lay them down at his feet, he's going to give us an exchange. It's going to blow your mind. Anybody ready for this? Let's all stand. Father, I thank you for your word. Sharper than any two-edged sword. You just did surgery on us. You started cutting some cancers out. You started cutting out some lies. You started convincing us that our best days are before us. and there's weapons I can pick up that I didn't even know I had. I'm unlocking this closet door. Lord, take me on a journey. I want to pick up every one of them. Reveal it to me, Lord. Show me. Let's go for this, Daddy. I'm your little boy. I'm your little girl. I'm jumping in your arms. Let's go play. Let's have fun. Thank you, Father, for your word. Prayer team, join with me. Come on, if you want to bring some baggage, people are not going to think negative of you. They're going to say, thank you for leading and helping me step out and believe. Let's go for it today. God bless you.